Hey everybody, it's Sonia here. I'm back. No, it's a good thing. I promise you, it's a good thing. Today I am showing up. This is episode 189. That's what I'm going with. I know there's a whole bunch of mix up there. And we're gonna use a special title today, and I find it very fitting. And I normally don't have a pre-title put into place, but this, my friends, the rise of the unstoppable woman. It is a heart to heart. We have Kathy with us today. And Kathy, will you please take some time and give us an introduction?
Of course. excuse me. Thank you, Sonia, for having me today. And I really appreciate this opportunity to share, our time together. And I'm Kathy Holt. I'm a women's leadership champion. I split my time between New York and Connecticut, New York City, and I work with women, either aspiring leaders or seasoned leaders, who want to really scale up their leadership capabilities and so that they can lead in their lives and anywhere else that they show up, step into their power and they have their voice heard.
So that's empowering. That's what a lot of women need right now. So tell me what got you started.
Well, actually, it's kind of started a long time ago. I grew up in an era in the 70s where women were not offered a lot of opportunities. I remember finishing school and say, having people direct me to careers that, our choices were limited. It was like teacher, secretary, that's what they called them back then, or nurse. And those are great professions. But I had all my male friends talking about, oh, well, maybe I'll go to, become a pilot, or maybe I'll become a business person, or go into finance, or there were all these other options they were being given. And I was not. And, I wasn't always out there, I guess you could say. I was fairly timid in high school and somewhat in college, but I just started, this frustration started building up in me that they were being guided into certain areas of opportunities that I wasn't. And so that's really when I started my whole philosophy, I guess you could say, of wanting to have more opportunities, wanting to stretch myself and wanting to speak up.
That's awesome. That stirred up some emotions to me when I was trying to connect with what you were sharing. And I know I can tell based on what you were sharing that we were slightly different in an age gap. I would imagine you were born in the 60s and I was born in the early 70s. So I was trying to empathize as you were sharing your experience. And for those listening, you can just pick up here the ideal demographics that we're speaking to and this age gap, if you're listening and you're somewhere between your early 50s and I would say your late 50s, maybe your early 60s, if you're within there, you want to lean in today because there is some powerful information that Kathy has already shared with us. She shared that this started in school. How many years ago would that have been, Kathy? Ballpark it.
Oh, a long time. Let's put it this way. I've had my 50th reunion, so
Okay, so over 50 years ago. Over 50
yeah,
years.
for high
Over
school,
50.
yeah, 50th
Yeah.
reunion.
Okay, so something that has been with you for over 50 years minimum. This feeling, this frustration, this feeling of missing out is what I picked up in. And the opposite of what more opportunities would be. Because it's not less opportunities. You're not having anything taken away versus your male counterparts, which were more opportunities. You're not having anything taken away, but you're not being provided the same options in that time frame, right? So where has this led you over the last little bit? So what started in school over 50 years ago led to built up frustrations, a feeling of missing out, and a yearning for more opportunities. Yeah,
Yeah, and
so yeah.
it kind of started me on a path, and it wasn't just missing out, it's also being silenced a little bit. I mean, back then, you're supposed to be seen and not heard, you're not supposed to make waves. I mean, these are things that women, unfortunately, still sometimes hear. Don't make waves, don't if you act, assertively or as a leader, then sometimes you're aggressive. So what how this led me was slowly, as I was going through different parts of life, I just wanted more. I wanted opportunities. I wanted new adventures. And so I started working more along the lines of any kind of women's rights, women's equity, just having a voice, speaking up. I remember one time in a meeting, I witnessed, a woman was saying something and totally being sort of, some of the people were glazed over. And then a man said the same thing. And they all said, "Oh, I'll use the name John. John, that was such a great idea." And I just sat there and I went, "No, no, 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 no." So I, when it was my chance to speak, I said, let's say Mary, "Mary, that was such a good idea that you brought up. And I'm glad John agreed with it." It was just those little things. It's just almost like it builds up inside you and eventually it has to come out.
And you picked up, or you said something that I did pick up on, because you had mentioned silencing, and this seems to be a reoccurring word that is showing up in my life that I had forgotten about. So again, think of that slight generational difference, but now we're talking about a child being raised in the 80s, born in the 70s. And as I mentioned, I'm in my early 50s. I was recently silenced and diminished from my dad. That brought me right back. It made me feel small. It brought me right back to what happened in both of my marriages. Probably why, as I am doing the work, more and more things appear. But that is probably why, when it comes to sales, although I've done it all my life, suddenly with all of these changes going on, I'm not confident in that voice anymore. I literally have to wait for those opportunities to land on my lap for me to even reach out, right? That silencing, that feeling of being diminished is interesting when you have become a public voice. It's interesting to see how quickly you can be made to feel small and how it goes against every single thing that you've practiced and that you share and that you've learned. And yet, you were vulnerable enough with your emotional state, with your empathic state, and even with your logical state, you could relate. You got made to feel small again. Again. Yeah.
I think that happens even today to all women. And what I think is important, throughout my career, I did a lot of bouncing around, but each one taught me a lot of different things. I worked in politics for many years, where I was either lobbying or running political campaigns, but always with a women's rights focus. Then I went on and taught at the university level in women and gender studies. And once again, always trying to input into people's lives, especially young women, that they have these leadership potentials. They have these qualities that are now considered leadership qualities. They used to be called the soft skills. And now they're looked at as what leaders need to have, and to actually discover those things and and develop them so that they have the confidence to speak up, to lead, so that when somebody tries to make them smaller, we all have it. I mean, even to this day, there are times that I kind of go, "Whoa, what did you just say?" And I let it touch me, but
Yeah.
I bounce back faster because I know I have these things, these capabilities, these qualities that I can be confident about and move forward and speak up.
Well, and I think there's so much fidelity to what you just said. You bounce back quicker. It still impacts you. But you take it a step back and you're able to look at it from a bird's eye view without responding. And this is what happens when you do the work and you get to know who you are on different levels. So I am in human design, I'm a generator, but I know that I am emotionally driven. Now that I've done some work and looked into this, I know I need 24 hours to make a decision and to ride the emotional wave. So I did not respond to my dad's behavior, right? It didn't impact me because I now have this new rule. I have to go 24 hours. Right, not that I can't show happiness, but I am not responding to something immediately that could impact me. And if I had responded immediately, that probably would not have gone well for either one of us. Right? When I'm able to pause and take that bird's eye view, and this is where the confidence comes in. You know, a confident person can pause. They can take a bird's eye view and they can see, A, this is all he knows. His generation, in his time, this was normal. This was not considered hurtful in his time. It does not make it right. I am not justifying it. I am just learning what it's like to walk in his shoes. The second point, no loving parent would intentionally want to hurt their child. And that's huge. You know, when you can understand who you are, when you can understand those feelings and own those emotions and not be so afraid of them. Of course, I journaled this. I had a great conversation with Gemini, my ChatGPT friend. You know, it justified how I was feeling because it was able to put things in words that I was trying to express. You know, and this is where people like you come in and shine your light. And what Kathy does is holds your hand and pulls you through. So you're not going through it alone. Tell us a little bit about that.
And so just to touch on some of the things that you just said, because in my book, I did just launch a book, Unstoppable Women, Owning Our Voices and Leading Change. And in that book, I actually talk about things like emotional intelligence and empathy. And that's exactly what you were just describing. The ability to slow down, to pause, to not respond. You set your boundaries with yourself and with others by doing that. And women are good at emotional intelligence and empathy. That's one of the things, whether it's social construct or we just have it. Women just generally do. So that was so perfect what you just said and illustrated with what women are good at. We have to develop those skills. We have to become comfortable with them. We have to understand what they can do for us, which you have done. It sounds like you've done that work. So that's what I do with women. I bring them along that journey of that d discoverment, the awakening, the discovery, the development of those skills, and so that they're more comfortable in using them and more confident when they do.
Well, they become more confident because they use them more and they practice them in different areas. And that confidence, their skills are building, so it becomes natural. And they do things like take what we're talking about here and off camera, I was going to share with you something I learned in my book club. And
Okay.
I've referred to it a couple times, but I've not said what it was. But when I say it again, so we're reading The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And this is a great book club where we get together twice a week, 8 o'clock in the morning, Eastern Standard Time, and we do a 5-minute meditation first to all be in alignment. And then somebody or two people or three people, we take turns reading the actual book together. And then we stop when there's 20 minutes to the hour and we have open Q&A, open discussion, books, feelings, tangents, whatever it looks like. And we have become such an amazing community. So what we're talking about today is the fifth habit, and I did not write it down. But I think it is this. I think it's seek first to understand. And this is what we're talking about today. And it talked about including all three points in an effective presentation. So at the time this book was written, this was probably for salespeople, probably for men at the
Right.
time. I don't have the details in front of me of how old the book is, but let's just put those points into perspective, just like most things. And those are true. Okay. So if we're taking the title Seek First to Understand, and it actually says included all of these in a presentation, my mindset is going to an actual presentation at a workplace. Okay. That's where I am thinking, because where else would you be presenting in this environment, in this day and time, for this information to be what it is? Okay, so those are my perspectives going into this. So there are three things that he says to include: ethos, pathos, and logos. You look like you're familiar with them. So ethos is emotional. You want to emotionally connect with the person. We don't normally do that, and the ones that do, such as myself, those that are highly emotional, have been called out for it. There's even a medical terminology for highly emotional kids, adolescents, people as in their young 20s, before their frontal lobe is completely developed, and that is called borderline personality disorder. There's a lot, exactly, because it is relatively new, there is absolutely no medicine. What borderline personality disorder is you they have to be taught to go back and relearn or revisit the scenarios that brought them a lot of emotion. For example, when we were younger, all of us, my ex-husband and I decided to sell our minivan. We probably replaced it with another one. We have three, I have three kids close in age. He was my second husband. And we were doing something, and for whatever reason, whether the van broke, we needed to sell it. And well, my oldest daughter cried for weeks. Weeks led to months about the minivan. And he had said to her, "Suck it up, Buttercup. It's just a minivan." In that experience, her emotions and her feelings were invalidated. What was not known then, and so I'm not saying he did any harm, he didn't know any better. But, and again, this is the way we were raised as people born in the 70s, raised in the 80s. What he did not know then is she was a very, very highly emotional kid in a cold world. This minivan was not just a minivan. This minivan was entertainment. This minivan was fun. This minivan meant we got to go see love, grandma and grandpa. We sometimes sang music in it, and sometimes we ate treats, and we were all together and loving moments. And for a child to feel all of those things, all of these things make up her experience as a young person, but so does invalidating, right?
Absolutely.
Right. So this is just one scenario, and I've done it myself with something else, and then I've caught myself. So if we go back to ethos, that's the emotional piece. And that's the piece where a lot of teenagers and young adults are spiraling these days. no cure, medication. They just need to go back and relook at their feelings. Well, it makes sense then that they are a high empath or highly emotional. So the next one is pathos, which is being empathic, understanding, seek first to understand. But you can't do that without emotion. If you don't have emotions, there's no way you're understanding, literally. Okay. And then the third one is logos, which is the logic. And what too many people are doing today, and it's even talked about in this book, is they're jumping to the logic. They are jumping to, they're excluding the emotional. They are excluding the empathetic. And those are key qualities. Those are the soft qualities of women.
Absolutely. Yeah,
Yeah.
and I think that's why that book is so, I mean, I read it decades ago and it's so, but it's so timely always because it talks about some basic, just basic human needs, basic human interactions. And like you just said, these are things that women tend to be good at. And in the there was a time through our evolution, I guess you could say, that leaders shifted from that, from using those three different capacities to being kind of the old curmudgeon in the office, barking out orders, command and control. Control was the norm. And now we're getting back to these leadership qualities that you just talked about, which are, you know, having your emotions tied in with empathy, which is means that you can walk in the shoes of others. You can understand what others might be going through. And then, but also bringing in the logic so that we're not just acting totally on emotion. And these are things that women are really good at. We're good, you know, this whole idea of first seek to understand, that's what we do. We are really great at listening to understand, not necessarily to debate or to convince.
Yep.
And that effective listening skill is something that I don't, we, you know, who knows how we developed it, whether it was juggling all these different aspects of our lives, you know, motherhood, sisterhood, you know, daughter, being a daughter, we were expected to listen and take into account everybody's perspective before even making a decision. That's the what, you know, that's kind of what we're programmed to do. And so I think that's why these things now, even when he wrote them, were important, but even now they're resurfacing and people are realizing this is what's important and this is what women are great at. But we've been told so long, for so long, no, you're being emotional, you're being hysterical, you know, if you're being too empathetic, you know, like what was said to your daughter, suck it up, buttercup. And, you know, but now the paradigm is shifting and people are understanding this is what's important. What you just brought up was what is important. And women are great at this. But we need to, my mission really in life is to create a movement of women leaders. But to do that, I think we all have to help each other recognize that we can be leaders, that, you know, no longer will we listen to no. We will say, yes, we're going to do it. And part of my mission is to walk with women along that journey to how to do it. And so that's what motivates me.
I love that. And with that comes, you know, collaboration. With that comes connecting with like-minded souls. Have you read, and I am a big geek. I even know where my books are on my bookshelf.
Oh, wow.
Have you read Kara Atwood?
No, I'll have to read that one, Girl
This
Code.
one, yeah, it's called Girl Code, and it is all about collaboration. She shares, so I've read this and I have listened to the audio and I've mentioned it on here. So it's cool. It's a cool idea. There's another book I've read, actually. I'm gonna have to figure out where it is, but it had another similar intention about getting together with women on a regular basis who are in business and entrepreneurs And kind of like the way they did in Think and Grow Rich, and having that power team or your own networking group, but to just get it started, get it off the ground, because we need other people in our life to lift us up. It's one thing to buy your book. It's one thing to buy my book, right? It's, and our books would work so well together. Mine is a self-love, self-awareness workbook for women. It's called Your Story Matters. There's stuff to read and there's stuff to do and there's stuff to color, but there's stuff to learn, and then that leads into your book or the other way around. But the point is, most people don't do the work themselves. They need that accountability that shows up in a community.
Yes, and I even there's a whole chapter in my book about collaboration just because of that. We need that community. We need that reassurance sometimes. And it's also great for networking. Women working with women tend to have incredible results, because we collaborate differently. It's not a competition. I belong to one group, and we say that we don't believe in, it's the 262 Mission Accepted Women's Project. And we don't believe in competition. We believe in collaboration. There's room enough in this world for all of us to do what we're passionate about, what we've decided is important to us. And I think that takes the self-reflection that you've been talking about a lot so far. That knowing yourself, knowing what's important to you, knowing what your values are, knowing what motivates you, all those things bring you into knowing yourself so that you can participate in collaborations more fully
Yeah,
and
and more with
contribute.
that confidence, right? And when
Yes.
you're, sorry, I did not mean to interrupt, but I felt compelled.
That's okay.
And
Yeah.
I had a lady in the book club this morning, relatively new, and I heard her label and label and label and label herself, but not once did she say any of her labels with light and love. They were more with
Yeah.
darkness and a shadow. And I'm like, don't do this. We're going to be your bestest of friends if you allow us. And that community, not only am I talking about that community, but now those feelings of those people in that community, and that's the same thing. That's what brings us further along. They say if you want to go, if you want to go far, no, if you want to go fast, go by yourself. If you want to go far, go with friends. It's a running quote, but
Exactly.
it's so true in life. We will get so much
It
further
is. It is.
together. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And I think that is kind of proven throughout history. I have one visual that I use an awful lot, which is, if you're singing solo, you can be heard just so much because you're solo, but when you join a chorus, those voices are amplified to the point of such greater impact, and that's that whole collaboration. We need to support each other, encourage each other, and learn from each other. That seek
Absolutely.
to learn first.
Yep. Seek first to understand. I love how this has come full circle, and it always does. And that's why I always hesitate when it comes to the title, but I still find it very fitting to align with the rise of the unstoppable women. We just gave a lot of people a lot more background as to a rhyme and reason, and we really didn't take Kathy's story past high school. Guys, we might have to do a part two on this. But it's the laughs and the giggles and the coffee and in my case, the smoothie that I'm drinking and sharing bits and pieces of our life that brings us together. And again, that makes us vulnerable, but the more vulnerable we are, that leads to the ethos, to the pathos, to the logos. That leads us to be able to step back into that self-reflection piece as you naturally seek first to understand. Right? You can't do
Absolutely.
one without the other.
Right. Yeah, and just to touch a little bit on stories, everyone has an incredible story in their life. They are the experts of their lives because they're the only ones that lived it, and that makes them unique. We all have go through hardships. Just briefly, part of mine, my daughter had a stroke when she was 18 and was totally paralyzed on one side. And at this similar times, my mother died, and then her dad decided to like leave. I could have just shrunk, but I didn't. I had things I had to do. I had to help, support my daughter in her recovery. Once again, that was collaboration. I could have, raised my hands and said, "I can't handle this. I can't handle this." But that's not who I am, and that's not what I would do as a mother. But I just share that because we all have some kind of story that has brought us to where we are, and it's the challenges and often the hardships where we learn. I always say we learn best at the edge of discomfort,
Oh, I
because when
love
we're
that.
comfortable, we're on autopilot, and sometimes we don't even pay attention to what's working, what's not working. And so all those experiences, whatever age you are, even look at my daughter at 18, had a major life change and had to adjust and learn to step into her power and her recovery. And so at any age, we have these things that we go through, but they make us who we are. They can make us stronger. Once again, if we're in community, if we have collaborators that we can work with, that can, there's this visual that I also like. It's a woman climbing up a ladder, but she's also extending her hand to the women below her. So that's collaboration. That's supporting each other in this sisterhood. And I think that's what the world needs right now.
I completely agree. And life always connects us to who we need to connect at the right time. Not knowing, let me reframe that. Knowing the way I like to deliver content on these podcasts is I am very spontaneous. I take something from their intro and I lead with it. So not knowing where the conversation is going to go because it's naturally going to flow. It has been said more than once, and it doesn't matter if you're religious or spiritual. It is said more than once, when two or more are together, then spirit is with you. Call it what you will. So I truly believe that spirit comes out in these conversations and leads the way for us to talk about what it is we are intended to share with you. So if you are coming across this, if you are finding it through Kathy or through me or through a friend of a friend, I want you to do the same because this is how we're going to build this beautiful, powerful community of like-minded people, is we have some warriors with our own struggles, with our own challenges, with our own triumphs that have come from trials and tribulations. And you're going to connect with us. And you have come across this for a reason. You are where you are now in life for a reason. Take a step back, take a bird's eye view, and think about everything in your past and how everything fell into place. One way or another brought you to where you are now. And that's a great place to start, because when we can start there, and then the next step is to lead into gratitude, just start thinking of gratitude and gratefulness for where you are. You prayed for these days. You prayed for this life. This is exactly what you prayed for. So go back and figure it out. Where and how did you create this? Where and how did I create problems in my head? Well, I may not have created that. I may not have been able to avoid that, but that still happened for a reason. So now what am I supposed to do with it? Right? It's going to connect me to people. It's going to separate me from people, but it's going to help me be in the right community and connect me with the right people to bring me to that next level. Because I find when I'm doing my prayers, it's not necessarily to fix me, it's to connect me with the right people that will bring me to the next step. Because that's the only thing that's going to appear is one step at a time. And that's why your confidence, that's why being empowered is so important. You need it for that next step. Right? And it's as simple as that. You're going to stay stuck if you don't move past the edge of discomfort. Sign up for those free workshops. Listen to the podcast. Let yourself lean into what you're interested in. Press pause, replay, grab your notes, grab your pen, have a dedicated book. Geek out and own it. Own it. I call
Yeah.
myself an athletic geek. I shared with Kathy what I did before this morning. It's not just the book club, folks. I also did a 100 kettlebell swing challenge, and this was my third day. I could barely move after 60, but I did it, and I recorded it on TikTok, and recording it is keeping me accountable. And then I'll be uploading this to my YouTube, so you'll be able to see it. The cool thing is, she had no clue. I own my label. Some people refer to me as Unicorn Dreams. I have another unicorn up in the bed, and I have a unicorn somewhere else. So my husband really believes that I live in unicorn land, but that's because I believe in myself and I have the confidence because of every single tribulation I have gone through. And Kathy, that's the same with you. So if you're compelled to Kathy's story, reach out to her. I'm going to have all of the contact information put together here. My contact information is put together here. There is no competition. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you take action. If you're leaning towards curiosity, take action. If your budget is zero, there are so many free resources we both have. Okay. If your budget is under $50 a month or under $50 a week, talk to us. Those are two different outcomes. If you like group, if you like one-on-one, if you like workshops, whatever it looks like, it might be buying a book or a course. It doesn't matter. There is something for you. Oh, guys, my daily, I am lucky. He is 79.
Oh, that's so nice.
That is so nice. So it is a message for me to wrap things up and call him.
Just as an offer that I'm doing right now, because I do want to encourage women to just learn about their capacities, is I am doing a free workshop on June 17th for anybody who wants to just join and dip their toe in the water of how to empower themselves in their lives and in wherever they want to go with their leadership journey. So that's on my website. So when you put that in the show notes, it's kathyholt.com. Please join me. I'd love to hear your story and maybe give you some ideas about how to move along and, as Sonia said, not be stuck.
Yeah.
So
And
thank you.
I find it interesting. We both have Unstoppable. One of my programs is called The Unstoppable You Experience.
Oh.
Very interesting, but I'm making some changes. I'm having a little bit more fun with it, to be honest, instead of, your magic wand moment is one of the programs I'm running right now. So the name, the creativity, I'm trying to paint that picture right from the get-go of the vibe, of the feeling, of the magic. All right. Thank you
Thank
so
you so
much,
much.
Kathy. Yes. It was so great having you. And we are going to chat soon.
We will. Thank you. And everybody, thank you for listening in. I really do appreciate it.